This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Robotic Randall, what's your answer to my questions or concerns? How widespread could this possibly be?
And I think David can chime in here, too, because if we look at this in a historical perspective, and David, I know that you're a scholar and a professor of religious history. Let's suppose that they selectively have a number of people that to have these experiences and then monitor it over time. Well, look at what has happened. They've become the world's great religions over time, and they would need to monitor this ripple effect of these experiences on the entire population over entire generations. And when we look at the history of religion and the prevalence of these types of phenomena within it, it seems to fit the picture. Now, I know that you're resisting it because you don't want to go to these are material craft, these are real beings, these are potentially interstellar. I'm just saying it could be and that it fits the picture. And you don't need a lot of craft. You just maybe need a few of them, and they travel very quickly. So they could be seen in more than one place over the course of a day or a time or a week.
Well, I think you would have to answer for yourself the question. I think you've already answered it. Whether it makes more sense that extraterrestrial visitors should have had that deep human caring about you versus either your own inner wisdom or some sort of a deity, I won't even use the word deity, some sort of an entity that's almost a big brother, a big sibling to human beings, and who naturally cares about us. Because the main thing that comes across to me from your story is the caring.
Yeah, well, it mattered that I survive and that I'm alive. But when you think about it logically, let's suppose I'm part of a long-term experiment where they decide that certain people are going to have these experiences so that they can monitor them over time to see what happens. And in some cases, they become prophets and entire religious movements start and whatever. I mean, that's the last thing I want to see happen here, but and why I didn't talk to a lot of people about it. But the point is that if I decide that I'm going to kill myself, that whole experiment is over, right? So it would be in their interest to make sure that I stay alive and to give me a reason, right? Now, that doesn't mean that what they were saying wasn't true. And this is one of the most important things that I came away with from the whole experience as well, is that truth matters.
Okay.
Right?
Like, it's something I believe in very deeply, and it's not the most popular view these days.
Oh, God, isn't it? Well, let's talk about that a little bit then. So for you, David, what do you mean? What is your version of truth? How do you look at the subject? Like, when you say something is true, what does it mean to you?
I keep wanting to say, darn it, don't you know what I mean? It means that it's true. But you know, I think that it is something out there that will not go away. What is, I keep thinking of those lines from the Rubaiyat, that all your piety and wit shall not erase a line, nor all your tears wash out a word of it, that whether we like it or not, it is the reality which we will keep encountering, as we learned very bitterly for the past year or so, as with COVID.
No doubt. That's a really sort of poetic way of looking at it from the correspondence theory of truth, where if we can call truth to be at least an approximation of what the case is. So somebody says, okay, this is the way things are, and it happens to be the case that things are the way that they are claimed to be, then we can say that the claim is true.
Yeah, yeah. That the instruments I'm flying by are telling me the truth, and the proof is that I don't fly the plane into the ground.
But okay, now, but you made a really interesting comment about it. It seems that people are having a tough time with the concept of truth these days. And of course, Gene, you know, with all of the politics that go on, and then we were talking about coronavirus, why do people get so upset when someone says, well, okay, I know that you're making this certain claim, but the evidence doesn't seem to back that up, and therefore it doesn't look like it's likely to be true. Why do people get upset when you say that instead of saying, oh, what evidence? Tell me more.
I mean, my answer would be that you can't give a global answer, but in each case that somebody has a belief that makes him worthwhile or her worthwhile, and that if that belief happens to be false, you will get violent reactions if you force them to give it up. I mean, I think we're seeing this. I feel like I'm treading into dangerous territory, but we're seeing this with what came out last summer with taking down Confederate statues. That, yes, I think most people would agree that the Confederates fought, however nobly and however selflessly and however heroically, for an evil system. But if you are a Southerner, and if your self-identity is tied up with that part of the country, it becomes very difficult for you to acknowledge that without taking the further step to, I am flawed, I am evil. People will do almost anything rather than take that step.
Okay, so what... Okay, so I guess it means that they're just not seeing that by taking the step, they're actually becoming closer to goodness or reality instead of further away. They just can't make that connection.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why I get very hesitant when I hear about statues being torn down and buildings being renamed. Yes, there is a justice in that. But is there wisdom? I don't think so. In that it doesn't take into account, okay, here's that word again, the truth of human nature.
Yeah, I think maybe what we're dealing with there, too, is a different kind of truth than sort of simple objective verification of a thing. That would be more like the coherence theory of truth, where something isn't simply true because it's claim to be true and it happens to be the case, but that it requires a framework. So in other words, if we say that it's true that it's this thing represents something that is evil and therefore it should be destroyed, then there needs to be a coherent framework about our concepts of good and evil to justify the truth that it should be taken down.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that that is a truth. It's a choice. And I mean, I can, I'm going to ride my own hobby horse here, that I personally think the statues ought to come down, but not torn down. I think they should be honorably buried with, that these were statues of the statues of Confederate leaders of the Confederacy. These were men who struggled nobly for what they were convinced was right, and that has to be honored.
Let's do our break here. More to come with Gene Randall David. You're in
the Paracast.
Need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the unprecedented boom in the U.S. markets. If you're following EV stocks, then you may know that this potential $3 trillion marketplace depends on graphite for next-generation energy cells. You can get free up-to-the-minute research on the stocks that are leading the way in this red-hot sector with your free subscription to Avid Metals Research Report when you text the word HOT to 48542. Developments in the electric vehicle market are compelling, but investors know we're running short on lithium and graphite supply. Did you know we could also be running short of cobalt? Cobalt is used in chemical production and is one of the critical elements needed to make the EV power source. Research suggests there's not enough ability to mine and process the material to meet demand. We've identified a strategically well-positioned company that could lead the way in solving this critical problem. Get your free research from the Metals Research Report when you text HOT to 48542. Text HOT to 48542.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're really into the political realm here when we get to those statues, and I'd rather move away into...
Very sensible. Very sensible.
Yeah, because what happens here is we are accused sometimes of being political when we're not. Like someone wrote me about that we, at one time on the show, I don't remember ever saying anything about this, discussed World War II and the fact that Japanese Americans were interred in camps, occupation camps, whatever, such as George Takei, the guy who played Sulu on Star Trek. He grew up in one of those internment camps. as a Japanese American, born in America. Now, there are political issues we can talk about, but that's a matter of history. I don't know why it has to be put into politics. We're talking about the paranormal here. We're talking about strange phenomena. Talk about strange phenomena in the Bible. Talking about other things. But let me ask you, as someone who is not a biblical expert, nor do I play one on TV or radio. I don't make those claims. I consider you the expert, David. What parts of the Bible should I accept as history and what parts as myth, other than Adam and Eve, of course? Are there aspects there that you would regard as absolute history in whatever limitations of the process of recording it? Tell us about things that really happened way back when.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that the political histories of the kingdoms of Israel and Judah in the books of Kings are basically reality-based. They certainly have their biases and their limitations, but I think they can tell us about what actually objectively went on in antiquity. The books of the prophets all come from an historical context, and I think they accurately reflect those contexts, like the book of Jeremiah, the books of Ezekiel. These are reasonable mirrors of an actual political crisis that befell the Judean kingdom at the beginning of the 6th century BCE. So yeah, I think there's a lot of history in the Bible, as well as a lot of myth, and also a lot of history that's recast and reimagined as myth.
Sitting 2,700 years later, how do we verify what happened in 600 BC? A consensus of different descriptions?
Well, to me, the question is, how did these documents come into existence? Say the book of Ezekiel or the book of Jeremiah. Does it make most sense to imagine that they are what they claim to be, which is the imagined messages of God received by certain men during times of political crisis? And I would say yes, that we could most plausibly, most easily explain their coming into existence if we take them more or less at face value. Other books, like the book of Daniel, which is almost certainly a book written long after the events it purports to describe, and reflecting a totally different historical situation, there we understand it better if we do not accept its claims about itself. To me, the fundamental datum is that these documents exist and that their existence, their coming into existence, requires explanation.
Oh, okay, so this is all woven together in a way that is hard to separate, because we start off talking about something that is very paranormal, possibly alien, maybe aliens coming here. We're talking about craft, and then it moves into these experiences that involve a collective unconscious, archetypes, religious symbolism, and then religion is tied to politics and truth and belief. And so the whole thing is really hard to separate from each other when you start looking at it in those terms. It's not easy to just say, okay, fine, UFOs are nuts and bolts craft, and put them on a stand over here, and Ezekiel's wheel is something completely different, and put it on a stand over there and say they have no relationship to each other.
And I do, as a matter of fact, I do think they have a relationship, that both are encounters with the transcendent. Both are encounters with something beyond what's recognized by the experiencer's conscious mind, which Ezekiel conventionalizes as visions of the tribal god, and the modern experiencers conventionalize as ET.
And it's, of course, it's related to religion, and religion is related to social structure, and social structure is related to politics. One of the things you say on your website as well is that it was June 1947. This coincides with the birth of the modern era in ufology, was that it was the month that the Doomsday Clock first appeared on the cover of the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists.
Yes.
And so it became, you know, significant for you that UFOs became a cultural phenomena when the possibility of the collective death of the species through nuclear warfare became real. And it's definitely a part of the background of the contactee movement and people who've experienced alien abductions, where we are told, take better care of the planet. Do not engage in warfare. The whole nuclear thing is a bad idea. But it's also very political, hugely political.
Well, that's really who we are as human beings, right? I mean, we are individuals with our own unconscious, which I think plugs into the collective unconscious, but also there is an individual unconscious. We are human beings with our own individual crises that are, in your case, addressed by an unknown entity and addressed in a way that you were able to find meaning in continuing to live. And yet you, like me, like us all, are part of a network grounded in the historical truth of our cultures.
And so again, we see that the experience of seeing these flying discs in the sky and UFOs coincides again with this idea of a large scale destruction of our species or death. And perhaps in some cases it can just be an individual thing. I find this actually really quite fascinating. Then your idea on the collective unconscious with in relation to that experience that I was describing earlier, that would mean that somewhere in my brain I have this wiring that it lies beneath the surface. And when it's needed in that particular case, it became active and created this experience for me. And that sort of gives some validity to this idea that I had, that it's actually some kind of an advanced defense mechanism that's hardwired into our minds. That is really, really interesting in and of itself.
We've got more to come with David, Jean, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The Senate has passed President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief plan. The bill passed along party lines Saturday morning by a 50-49 vote. Before the final vote, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell criticized the Democrats for rushing through a bill without any GOP support. He said the previous five stimulus bills were written with bipartisan support, but he accused Democrats of taking advantage of a crisis for this measure.
Five rescue packages totaling $4 trillion. And none of them got fewer than 90 votes. The Senate wrote the CARES Act, Republicans and Democrats shoulder to shoulder. That was the road to real pandemic relief, but Democrats actually wanted, Mr. President, something else. They explained their intent very clearly, to exploit this crisis, quote, as a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision.
This is USA Radio News. The Senate on Saturday passed the president's $1.9 trillion COVID relief plan. The bill passed along party lines by a 50-49 vote. Following the bill's passage, President Biden thanked those senators who voted for it, saying it was something that the country urgently needed.
I want to thank all of the senators who worked so hard to reach a compromise to do the right thing for the American people during this crisis and voted to pass the American Rescue Plan. It obviously wasn't easy. It wasn't always pretty, but it was so desperately needed, urgently needed.
The Senate version of the bill contains $1,400 stimulus checks for many Americans, though the income cutoffs have been lowered from the House version. Federal unemployment benefits have also been extended, but at a lower level than in the original proposal. Another $400 billion of funding is being provided for vaccinations, expanded COVID testing, the hiring of more workers to administer vaccines, and funding to support hospitals. The bill now goes back to the House for final approval. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so we have to assume the wiring in Randall's brain has not become frayed. People say that about me. I'm kidding. David, seriously, you had a response to what Randall said in the previous segment?
Yeah, this is something that I would insist on, Randall, which is that if it was not an external entity, but rather I would call it your own deepest wisdom, that does not diminish the power or the importance of your experience one iota.
Oh, I'm sure many neurologists, neuroscientists, psychologists would agree with you. It's something definitely worth studying, I think, in people who have these experiences. But then again, there are just too many people that see something real that seems to be objectively real. Like we said before, leaves traces, can be tracked on radar. So if we accept the fact that alien visitation is a reality, then maybe it's not just all in our mind. Maybe there really is an external cause to this.
As, which Jung was quite prepared to entertain. That it is possible that actual machines give rise to psychological projections.
Now, just to point to that, when the book came out, apparently there was some communication between Major Donald Kehoe of NICAP and Dr. Jung. And that's where, at least one of the versions I've heard, he said that, yes, there is this physical possible aspect here about UFOs having an external reality, not just being collective unconscious. Kehoe was concerned about that because Kehoe was a guy who pushed for spaceships.
I've never heard that story about Kehoe, but it was a version of it was told by Charles Lindbergh, the aviator, that he had met Jung in 1959 and was looking forward to having a discussion with him about the psychological aspects of these non-existent flying saucers. And Jung said, I'm sorry, they really do exist. When Lindbergh quoted General Spatz, the general of the army, is saying, Slim, don't you think if there were these things flying around, don't you think we'd know about it by this time? which is sort of my argument, that Jung said, there are things going on in this world that you and General Spatz don't know about.
Yeah.
Which is to me, is clearly Hamlet's there are more things in heaven and earth ratio than dreamt of in your philosophy,
exactly.
Which Jung's mentor Sigmund Freud used to use as a mantra.
Yes, exactly. And this reminds me again of Jerry Clark and in the discussion we were having the other day, where he's taken the emergent view that, yes, there's something that is much stranger, larger, and more complex than we can wrap our heads around, that is behind some of this stuff. He doesn't discount that there could be actual interstellar craft visiting us, but that even, and this is probably the point that I should have brought up during that interview, is that maybe even they, the aliens that are flying those craft, are experiencing the same sort of thing on their level, and they don't know what it is either.
Now, that would be intriguing. I'm sure somebody has written a science fiction story about that. Don't you think that the aliens have their own transcendent?
Well, we're not supposed to mention Star Trek, but we do anyway. And of course, we have the sci-fi world of Star Trek and the Federation, and they encounter beings that are on various levels above our present state of evolution. And they finally get to one where they call it the Q continuum, where they're able to manipulate entire solar systems, perhaps most of the universe. It's unclear just how much power they have, but it's huge. So there seems to be a hierarchy, you know, of this level of godhood. Do you think then that UFOs are supernatural or not? Do you believe in the supernatural?
No, I don't believe anything is supernatural. And if God exists, I don't believe he's supernatural. And if the Virgin Mary exists, I don't believe she, you know, I know she once existed, but if she exists now, I don't believe she's supernatural, because I believe everything is subject to natural law. This is why I don't believe in God as conventionally, as I see it conventionally imagined, the God who can violate the rules, his own rules. But conceivably, there is a God who is just as subject to perhaps rules that have totally autonomous existence, which if you're an atheist, you have to assume that the universe is orderly, not because any God said it that way, but because that's just the way the universe is. So if there are, you know, if giant squids exist and, huge bears that are mistaken for abominable snowmen, then why shouldn't God be in there somewhere?
Sure, or something that we would conceive it to be. I really like your approach, David, and it's very similar to my own in that when we talk about nature and Mother Nature, this is, of course, you know, the feminine side of creation. If we look at nature as being the background that the rest of the gods park their thrones in, and those gods kind of act like the painters and the sculptors, you know, there's nothing saying that nature created the environment and these other beings came along and created a bunch of other phenomena. And maybe stars, planets, and all of the rest of it. I mean, that's a possibility. But at the very top of it, even above them, is nature itself.
Which does not exist except as an abstraction of the eternal laws. Would that be correct?
I guess it would be what we kind of refer to as the mystery of existence itself.
Yeah. Why should there be existence and not non-existence? Why should the laws apply?
Right. At a certain point, we don't get to answer that question. And I think that comes down to some of the questions about consciousness itself. When people say, well, where does it come from? How did it get here? Why is it here? Well, at a certain point, we just have to accept that it's just the way that things are.
I know that many people try to find ways in which consciousness can evolve from more primitive brain functions of lower creatures. And I suppose really that is in a way I find that compelling, since it's not like we conscious human beings are separate from everything else. We are part of a continuum that extends down to creatures that you couldn't possibly probably call conscious in any normal sense of the word. And yet at the same time, I am sympathetic to those people who want to make consciousness a primordial existence.
Fundamental.
Yeah.
I think would be something like David Chalmers would call it.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I mean, there's no reason that it can't be both.
Yeah.
I drive people crazy with the analogy to electromagnetism, for example. We know that the electromagnetic force exists everywhere, but it only really manifests itself when you have certain things that are put together in a certain way. In other words, you can't take some plastic fishing line and wrap it around a wooden core and hook a battery up to it and get anything. It needs to be a conductive material like copper around something like an iron core. And as soon as you put those materials together, all of a sudden you get this magical thing called a magnetic field.
We're going to zap in a minute here, but now we're going to have to zig. No, no, the zigging and zagging. More to come with Gene Randall and David. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have David Halperin joining us, the ostensible topic of discussion with UFOs in the Bible, and suddenly we get into the concepts of reality and where that takes us. Reality, what a concept. Who said that? Anyway, Randall, you had a further comment?
Right. Just before the break, we were talking about how things can be both fundamental and emergent at the same time because of the way that the situations need to be put together for them to manifest themselves.
I mean, I guess what is striking me after what Jade said is how we start with UFOs, and I would think we move through alienness and move to the question of what we are as human beings, what our consciousness is, whether there is a God, if so, what kind of God that is. And I think all of these are the really deep mysteries that are latent within the UFO mystery and that come out if you probe it most deeply.
Indeed. I think you also say UFOs are about transcending boundaries, and we've talked a bit about that already, but that's really what happens. And Gene, you've said something similar. UFOs are here to make us think. And so they do this. I mean, are they doing it intentionally, though, David? Is there a process or an intent behind it? Or I have a hard time thinking it's just this hardwiring that goes on inside our brain when it seems like an external intent to it to me, you know? It's like something else is guiding us. We even in religion, when we're talking about religion and UFOs, well, religion is followers of something external, something greater than oneself, something transcendent of our individual selves. I mean, how can it be transcendent of our individual selves but still have something to do with the hardwiring in our brain?
Yeah, that sounds like a contradiction. I'm wondering if we can take it as a paradox, which is a contradiction that you have the gut sense resolves itself if you can move your thinking to a higher level. Like the paradox I spoke of earlier about the human being who is a product of random evolutionary processes and yet is a thinking, feeling, loving creature. I was going to say unlike any other creature, but heck, there are animals in which feeling and loving, and perhaps also thinking, manifest themselves.
I wonder if they have similar visions of strange things. I mean, they say animals can sense what we are loosely calling the paranormal. You know, there's people that believe that they can see ghosts. There's people that believe that animals have spirits that go on to an afterlife.
There does seem to be experimental evidence that animals can dream.
Oh, certainly. I mean, I think if you've ever owned it, my dog used to dream all the time. He was chasing something. I'm not sure what, but he definitely, you know, you could see the little paws twitching and little growls and stuff like that going on. So, oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, I wrote in Intimate Alien that the UFO mystery is an aspect of the ancient and insoluble mystery of who we are.
All right. I suppose there's no way to prove this because it's almost a parallel to the whole brain in a vat problem in that, okay, then let's suppose that a creature with a brain that's not like ours, like an artificial intelligence, for example, something based on silicon that has no consciousness. It might be really intelligent, but intelligence and consciousness are two entirely different things. Would it be able to see a UFO or detect a UFO might be a better way to put it?
I am going to guess no. Okay, that may be just my bias. But I think we do not see the UFO with our intellects, but with what is mushily called the heart or the soul. And I do not mean to imply by that necessarily that the soul has a discrete existence, but only that there's some aspect of our humanity that is open to seeing the UFO, which the mind, the intellect, is not.
How then, if this is the case, let's suppose that there are two different experiential types here, one that is entirely subjective and another that is objective. How do we differentiate between the two?
My answer is I don't, and I call Socorro and the radar sightings, the radar visual sightings, temporarily unsolved problems. But I can see why others would not be satisfied to do that.
There's nothing about that then, and we don't have much time left, but there's nothing about that then that would make you rethink your primary theory because of the exceptions?
No.
Then again, how do we tell this to the Pentagon UAP task force that has to deliver a report according to the congressional mandate there by, what, end of June, early July? What are they going to say?
I think their only question is are the Russians and the Chinese invading our airspace? And the answer is no.
Well, that's the whole issue. I agree with you that if you look at the comments they've made, their primary concern is not whether ET is visiting us, but whether this represents a threat to national security, and they would be thinking in terrestrial terms then.
Yeah, as they were back in the 1950s.
But this is what, of course, confounds the UFO researcher. And that is, we look at some other kind of cause, internal, paranormal, whatever, spaceships, time travelers, whatever. But over the years, even though I'm sure some people in the military and government felt that way, the primary issue was threats to national security. And if there is none, that's the end of the story.
Yeah. As far as they're concerned, for me, it's the beginning.
Fascinating.
Thank you both. This was an extraordinary conversation.
That's because you came and were involved in it. For those who want to know more about the things that David Halpern does, take a minute or so and tell us how we can find more about you.
Go to my website, www.davidhalperin.net. Get hold of my book, Intimate Alien, The Hidden Story of the UFO.
What have you got in the works for the next few months?
Working on a novel about the Yom Kippur War in Israel in 1973.
I do remember that. I remember what radio station I was working at when that happened. Ooh, in any case, you can find us. I was working in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, by the way, which probably wasn't super far from where you were living. In any case,
I was in Jerusalem at the time.
Oh, you were. Oh, boy. There is a story there, I'll tell you.
Yes.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the PowerCast. You can find us on Facebook if you look for two PowerCast fan clubs. We haven't joined the more extreme social networks yet or ever. That's more than enough. If you want to get branded merchandise of the PowerCast, go to theparacast.shop. That's theparacast.shop, where we have the T-shirts and the throw pillows and all great stuff. High-quality merchandise with your choice of any one of four different logos, including designed by our friend Randall here. Go to theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop. We're running very, very, very low on the coupon codes for a free copy of the James Fox UFO documentary, The Phenomenon, with 3 hours of extras. They're available if you subscribe to the PowerCast Plus for 5 years or a lifetime. And lifetime could be a long time. We've done 15 years of this show so far, and we're not slowing down. So to find out more about signing up for the PowerCast Plus and maybe getting that coupon code while it lasts, go check out theparacast.plus. We give you the After the PowerCast podcast, where you never know what's going to happen next. We give you the PowerCast free of the network ads with better audio. All these goodies, check out theparacast.plus for more. David Halpern, thank you for joining us on the PowerCast.
Thank you for having me.
The PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.